to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 44.
44.
I'm here with Phoebe tonight.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm here with Dad.
And you're talking to Dad.
I'm talking to Dad. That's crazy.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
It's not a school night.
No, I have a four-day weekend, which is going to be great. I get to do fun things like laundry and homework.
You're going to wake up at 6 o'clock tomorrow anyway?
No.
A.M.?
No.
P.M.?
No.
Do you have any plans for the weekend? So it's Good Friday tomorrow, which is Easter weekend. Do you have Monday off too?
Yes.
That's
four
crazy.
Day weekend. We have a lot of 3 day weekends coming up.
I have to go to work Friday and Monday.
If you took the number of days we have off, like Fridays, and we have a lot of Mondays off in April and May, we have only 4 day weeks for like 4 weeks or something crazy like that, because we have all these days off. But if you took all those days off we have in April and May, you could, and you like put them somewhere else, you could take another week off the school year, which I'm kind of like, these are nice. But if you took all those days, I would love to have just 1 week less of school and end in May. But, you know,
I don't know. Sometimes having those days off during the year, though, or like gives you
energy
to make it
to the end. Because right now it's like so close to the end anyway that it's like, let's just get it over with.
Yeah. Anything else exciting happening?
I went to choir UIL yesterday.
So UIL, for anyone who's not from Texas, that's like the interscholastic. I don't know what it stands for, but something
like
interscholastic. Anything that the high schools compete in.
Yeah, it's for everything. They have like choir, orchestra, band, theater, sports. They have like Eileen does like oral reading, or what do they call it? Poetry and prose. They have like all sorts of competitions that you can do. Current events. I have friends that do that.
How did you guys do? I don't think I found out.
Oh, we got straight one. So one's the highest rating you can get. And we got all ones from the judges there's two portions. There's the concert part and the sight reading part. And we got ones from all the judges and everything. So that was good.
That is good.
And you know we did really well because one of the judges put on the comments sheet, for the concert portion. She works for a publishing company, a music publishing company, and one of the songs we were doing was published by her company. And she put on the comments sheet, like, to our director, please send us the recording of this so we can put it on our website.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so you know we're going to be famous now. Check us out on like the Carl Fisher Music website.
Yeah. Their choir is pretty good. I have enjoyed... You've only done choir this year.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed your choir concerts. They're actually kind of fun to listen to.
We work hard. But yeah, we're the best in the district, so...
Yay.
But yeah, all our choirs got perfect ratings. Well...
So it sounds like
all
the
our
end
choirs
of your concert.
Got sweepstakes. Actually, one group got 1-2. It's not good. It's bad. But
I know.
It's okay.
That's why there
the
was
other
only
two,
a smattering of applause.
Yeah, the other two judges gave them ones. So like they rounded out whatever. Anyway, we all got sweepstakes. No. No one gets threes.
That's
well, people
good.
Do get threes. I'm sure some of the choirs, other choirs in the district get threes. But we didn't. And it's great because this year orchestra got the same like perfect ratings. So it's been a good year for me that way.
It has been. Yep. You've got a very good choir director, I mean.
Yeah, he's great.
Choir is one of those things where, you know, you don't get to take a lot of credit for it because you're singing along with a whole bunch of other people.
Well, in that case.
Well, you're not one of the soloists. Or...
I mean, no. I mean, but there are parts where we divide into like 8 different parts. So like every voice really does.
Yeah.
You do need every voice there.
I'm not saying you're not pulling your own weight, but it's not like an individual
category.
It's
not a huge choir.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like 2 years ago, our choir was terrible at our school because our district doesn't generally have very good choir programs. So, like 2 years ago, before our new director came in, our choir was like kind of really bad. Like there was 50 people in all the choirs combined. We're like more than double that now. So pretty cool. We're just going to start our spring show soon. It's going to be some singing.
Is the spring show, is that just for fun or is it for competition?
No, it's just for I mean, it's for performing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it's not the same music that you'll do for UIL that you did for UIL.
No, it's like fun music with dancing and costumes.
You said
it's like show choir.
You found out what the theme was going to be?
Yes, it is awesome 80s.
Awesome 80s.
Which is kind of weird.
Do you know what songs you're going to do?
He sent us a picture of some of the music when he like announced what it was going to be.
I think there's probably a 10 out of 10 chance that I know the songs.
I also know the songs, so I'm sure you do.
But I know all the songs from the 80s. There's no 80s songs that I don't know.
Yeah, well, okay. I know we're singing an awesome 80s medley. I think my choir is doing that.
Totally awesome.
Yeah. But the songs here that are also in the picture, Don't Stop Believin'.
Yep.
Rhythm my of the Journey, Night.
My first concert that I ever went to.
I know Don't Stop Believin', Dad.
Do you know who did Rhythm of the Night? Do I know who did Rhythm of the Night?
DeBarge,
yeah.
DeBarge. How Will I Know? Whitney Houston.
That is Whitney Houston.
I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Also Whitney Houston.
Under Pressure. I love Under Pressure, actually.
David Bowie. And
I'm kind of excited for that
Queen.
One. She's Got Away. And,
She's Got Away. Is
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel, yeah.
And Girls Rock the 80s Medley.
That sounds really awesome.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
He just texted out. Like on the reminder thing, he just texted out that like Frisco. Am I allowed to say that?
Say whatever you want.
A local party store. I don't know. People are going to stalk us. Kind of doubt it. But anyway,
no one's going to stalk us.
A local party store that will go unnamed, I guess, is closing and all the stuff is like 80% off there. So he just texted us that he's going to go and pick up all their 80s stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So is that what you always do? Is the spring show always just kind of fun pop music?
Yeah. Well, we've only done it for 2 years because, like I said, the old choir didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
Because for competition, you do some, like, pretty serious stuff, like some classical
but
folk
even,
stuff. And
even our choirs was a little less traditional than the other choirs.
Yeah.
Like, we had some movement involved and stuff that was because our director's extra. And was like, most choirs don't usually do this, but I want to mix things. And I was like, okay. But ours was a little... I mean, we have one song that almost bordered on kind of like... Not pop like you would think of it, but in the choral world, what they would call more of like a pop style.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But yeah, last year... I didn't think they'd do 80s because last year they did 70s, but it's fine.
So I
think
made...
it's weird having two decades...
Yeah.
Like that, like,
You
I
might
know.
As well.
Yeah,
well,
they're good
little,
themes.
I'm a little annoyed that we made it all the way through the first decade in this century / millennium without anyone really settling on what that is called.
I hear aughts all the time now.
I hear the aughts.
But I don't like it. Nobody, like...
I don't think everyone got on board with the aughts.
I think that, like, people say it, but no one really, like, accepts it. It's just kind of like, you got to call it something. I think I just hear 2000s.
It seems like in the 1900s, it was called, like, the turn of the century.
I hear the 2000s, honestly. I feel like that's the one that feels the most, like, comfortable to people, I feel like. Like, people say the aughts, but they don't really, like... I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We're sitting here in 2017.
For those
And do you ever hear anyone call it the teens?
No.
It's weird.
But when
it
you think
like
of the 1910s, you say the 1910s.
During the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Well, yeah, that's
everyone
easy.
Was very much into like what decade it was. And I used to listen to the radio and they'd say the biggest hits from the 70s, 80s, and today. But now it seems like, I don't know, people are just
awkward
about it.
Well, it's just a weird time because no one likes saying aughts. When I heard they were saying aughts, I was like, that's stupid. No one's going to say that. And they, like, I feel like companies or like radio stations do, but like they don't, nobody likes that. I just hear 2000s. And I mean, if you think of the 1900s, people said the 1910s. Or people say the 1910s. They don't say the 10s.
Well, the 1910s
the
would be like the, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they say.
They say 1910s.
Do they?
Yeah.
I guess.
It's like people say 2000s now, like early 2000s. That's
I
what I hear.
But it's not really so is it still the 2000s in 2017?
But the 2000s, it's just, that's what they say. They say early 2000s and people know what they mean. Had great hits. I think that'd be a fun concert. You could sing classics such as All Star by Smash Mouth. Skater
is,
Boy.
The only reason people still know that song is because of memes.
Skater. No, they know it from Shrek.
From Shrek.
Skater
too,
Boy.
Suppose. Are you a big Skater Boy
fan? Oh, yeah. She was a skater. He was a skater boy. She said, "See you later, boy."
Yeah.
He wasn't good enough for her.
Whatever, Avril.
She was a ballet girl. Something, something.
When,
I don't know.
When Avril Lavigne first hit the scene, it was like, she's pop, but she's also punk.
When Avril Lavigne first hit the scene.
Yeah, I could make that into a rap.
Oh, man.
But I won't.
You could make a rap about like all the decades we'd be talking about.
Yeah. It seems like decades used to mean more too. Like, I feel like now things cycle so quickly, but it doesn't seem like a decade really holds together.
Nah, you know, I feel like we'll have more like,
maybe
I feel
when
like
we get
we're just too close to it. Yeah. We're too close to it to tell.
Yeah. The other thing is like a lot of the things you think of about a decade really only happened like in the last year of the decade. Like when you think about the 60s, most of what people think of as the 60s really happened like 69 through like 74. Like all the hippies were like more early 70s than they were 60s.
Maybe.
Like for most of the 60s, well, like men were wearing like dark jackets with skinny ties. That was the 60s. Mm-hmm. It was only in the 70s that it became like all about peace and love and stuff. Maybe like from 69 on.
I just got back. We just learned about this newest history and it was before 69.
What's that?
It was before 69. We learned about a newest history.
But like as, in terms of like pop culture, like if you think about like people
pop
with the
culture takes a while
the
to
long
actually
hair
catch on.
And
yeah.
The, you know, the real
well,
hippies.
I feel like that is part of it.
And
why
the same thing with the 70s. Like the 70s, what you think of is people dressing 70s. People were still dressing like that through like 84.
I feel like why things go faster now is because we've got more technology. But I also do think we're just too close to it.
Yeah.
To make like generalizations about it.
I think fads definitely catch on a lot quicker now because of the internet.
Yeah, but also
like fads would like sort of spread slowly when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I think that's true. But I feel like you can't make generalizations about something when it's that close because you know all the you remember all the little details. But when you just look at it from afar, you see the big things.
Yeah,
you know,
like Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, like Skater Boy, All Star,
all the hits, all the classics.
Yeah, I learned how to play All-Star on ukulele.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think you were playing it the other day when your friends were over.
We were all singing it, yeah. All my friends were, yeah, what a friend group.
Yep.
Singing All-Star. Just
on
chilling.
On that note, should we do some news?
Sure.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
All right. I'm going to start out with a story that may be in questionable taste, but I thought it was very funny. This is from United Press International, April 13th, 2017. Confused Michigan woman brings a dog to FurryCon. A Michigan woman brought her Bernese Mountain Dog to an event called FurryCon and said she and the canine were both surprised to learn the definition of a furry. So, you know what a furry is, right?
Yeah, I do.
So furries are adults who like to dress up in big fur costumes that are like anthropomorphic animals.
Well, that's not, it's like a Tumblr thing. It's like an internet thing where they're obsessed with animals.
There's an actual subculture of people.
And yeah, but it's not just dressing up. It's like they'll like draw fan art of like kind of weirdly human looking animals and they'll like
foxes and stuff.
Talk about. They'll have like animal personas and they'll like get all angry because everyone hates on them and be like,
it is kind of a strange little subculture.
Well, part of what makes people like hate on them so much,
like to dress up like stuffed animals.
Yeah.
And then like associate with other people that are also dressed like stuffed
animals.
Well,
it's like they adopt a persona of an animal.
Yes. And then they have these conventions where they all get together and do that together.
The weird girls wear dog collars.
But this woman named Cheryl Wassis, her son Kenny tweeted to the in Twitter, which is where people tweet, that she had brought her dog to FurryCon thinking that it was a pet event, only to discover that it was a gathering of furries, people who like to dress up as anthropomorphic animals. Cheryl Wassus explained that she and the licensed therapy dog, Link, volunteer for nonprofit Pets for Vets, which gives veterans a chance to interact with therapy dogs. The charity was chosen to receive money raised by FurryCon, and Wassus agreed to do a presentation at the event at the Sheraton Hotel without being aware of the convention's true subject. I really had no idea what to expect going in on a Saturday. The organization had chosen us as their charity, Wassus told New York Magazine. I usually try to do some research the night before I go to these events, but the website was pretty obscure, she told Cosmopolitan.com. It had links and information on how to register, but no pictures, so I just assumed it was a regular business convention of some sort. So she brought her Bernese Mountain Dog. Do you know what a Bernese Mountain Dog looks like? They're super big and furry, and they kind of look a little bit like St. Bernards, but not quite as roly-poly and longer hair. She said, "It was a little embarrassing at first, because Link was just a little curious why people were wearing tails, so he was doing some serious tail sniffing and checking out people." This little dog was going around sniffing everyone's tails. They weren't offended, though. They just embraced him. It was all good. Just a real interested community, she said.
Yeah, they're kind of famous for getting just like tons of crap on like Tumblr or wherever, or like social media, mostly Tumblr, because that's where weird people hang out. So I don't have a Tumblr. But
she said, "I've seen a lot of humanity in my line of work, but nothing like this. The whole experience was pretty amazing."
Wonder if she'll convert to that furry lifestyle.
Probably not. But apparently she had a pretty good experience. So, you want to read one of your stories?
Sure. Okay. Cheeseburger-craving 8-year-old drives father's van to McDonald's. An 8-year-old boy in Ohio took his father's van for a joyride to McDonald's after watching YouTube driving tutorials.
I love this. This is such a now story.
Yeah.
I figured out how to drive my parents' car by looking on YouTube.
The boy pulled up to the drive-thru window of the fast food location in East Palestine with his 4-year-old sister. Oh, it's in Ohio, though. Ohio, okay. Yeah. For a second, I was thinking, never mind. Okay. With his 4-year-old sister in the passenger seat at about 8 p.m.
He was driving with his sister, too?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, his parents slept at home about a half a mile away. The workers thought his parents were in the back, but obviously they weren't, East Palestine police officer Jacob Kohler said. He told officials who arrived at the scene that he looked up how to drive online because he wanted to get himself a cheeseburger. He looked up videos on YouTube on how to drive. The boy got up on his tiptoes to collect his father's keys before making his way to McDonald's, armed with money from his piggy bank. Witnesses said the young boy effortlessly navigated his way to the restaurant, obeying all traffic laws such as stopping at red lights and waiting for traffic to pass before turning along the way. Kohler said he expected to receive calls about damaged lampposts and mailboxes, but was impressed to find the boy made it to his destination without incident. He didn't think he hit a single thing on the way there. It was unreal. The apologetic boy and his sister were ultimately allowed to enjoy their meals while they waited for their grandparents to pick them up.
So they drove to McDonald's but didn't drive home? That's what it sounds like? That's pretty impressive. I mean, I don't think this is a good idea for all the children who may be listening. But this kid's kind of a hero.
I wish I could drive as well as him.
8 years old and he drove successfully by just looking at YouTube.
I wonder how far away the McDonald's was, if there were like any major roads.
I don't know. That's pretty scary, though.
Because if you think
Especially with a 4-year-old... Did he, like, buckler into her car seat?
And he went to the drive-thru. That's actually...
I know.
That's actually, like, kind of a challenging...
Well, I can tell you, there's at least one person in this family who learned how to drive who did not successfully navigate the drive-thru her first time.
It was not me.
It was not you.
I actually haven't heard that story. No. How did that go?
There's a little bit of a scrape on our door of our car.
Mm. Well, he did it. And did well enough. He wasn't like, they didn't even question. They just assumed his parents were in the back. So yeah,
it's kind of crazy. I wonder if the 4-year-old was even buckled into a car seat.
Probably, honestly. This kid honestly sounds pretty smart. I'm thinking this is a...
Pretty smart and almost responsible, other than the fact that he's taking his parents' car for a joyride.
Maybe not, but it doesn't sound like a joyride. He's... stopping at the stoplights.
He's obeying traffic.
And he didn't just like recklessly He planned first. He thought, I'm going to go look up how to drive first. Like, you know, like this, I think he would buckle his sister in.
It's pretty crazy. While his parents were asleep. So, not to tattle or anything, but my little sister used to sneak out at night and drive her parents' car when she was 14.
Oh, man. Annie?
My parents don't know about this. And I don't think they listen to this podcast.
I don't think so they know how to find the podcast.
But she used to sneak out with her friend and go hang out with boys at Hardee's in the middle of the night.
Really?
Driving her parents' car.
And she was only 14.
I found out about it much later. I didn't know about it at the time.
Oh my gosh.
She's 5 years younger than me.
So that's way worse than anything I've ever done.
I was like out of the house by that point.
I want you to know that that's worse than anything I've ever done.
I know.
I've never snuck out of the house.
And driven the car?
I've never driven a car illegally either. I've been tempted. Well, I always ask first, though, and you say no. If I can go, like, run to Kroger.
Yeah, we got to get you that license.
Yep.
But yeah. So, and she would drive it like, and our house was not too close to the Hardee's. It was probably a good, you know, 10 miles away.
Mm. Had she been taught to drive before that?
I don't know. She must have done some driving. My uncle had a farm not too far away, and he used to let us drive like his trucks and stuff.
Man,
so maybe she learned how to drive on his farm.
Not have done that when I was 14.
You shouldn't. I have.
Can you imagine me sneaking out of the house when I was 14?
Can I imagine it? I probably could imagine it.
Really? I could. I wouldn't have.
I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that.
I was very afraid of, I don't know, probably just crashing the car, but.
All right. I have another important story to read.
Okay.
Toby the Whippet sets new dog balloon popping world record.
Oh, is there pictures?
There is a YouTube video, but obviously the YouTube video won't look very good to our podcast audience. We'll have to watch it later. You know what a whippet is?
I think so.
They kind of look like greyhounds. They're super skinny.
Yeah.
So they're a little smaller than a greyhound, and they're very, very skinny with like long tails.
Mm-hmm.
I always think they kind of look like a whip. That's why they're called whippets. I don't know if that's true. But very skinny dogs. But this dog set a new dog balloon popping world record, which is probably a really important record.
That's very important. They should put him on We Rate Canada. Dogs.
Yeah, they should. He's from Canada. He's a purebred whippet from Calgary named Toby. Set a new Guinness World Record for fastest time to pop 100 balloons by a dog by bursting the balloons in 36.53 seconds. His owner said, Toby and I have volunteered as entertainment for the community for all our lives together. Popping balloons was just one of Toby's many talents. He has always been amazing to me and others. Toby set the record at the YMCA in Calgary on his 9th birthday as he frantically ran around using his teeth and paws to pop the balloons while Springs cheered him on. Springs and Toby were inspired to attempt the record after witnessing previous record holder Twinkie the Jack Russell Terrier pop 100 balloons in 39 seconds in 2016. Springs said the two trained by filling up a pool with balloons for Toby to pop while entertaining neighbors.
You know, our dog is an amateur balloon popper.
Our dog, we had some balloons. Was it when Eileen had her party?
Yes.
We had a bunch of balloons over at the house. And when the balloons started to lose their helium, they would float to the ground. And our dog would look at them and growl. She thought they were evil. And then when they lost all their helium and they were like on the ground, she would chase them around and swat at them.
Well, because as soon as she swatted, it would like, you know.
But when they would kind of bounce back at her, she'd just like sort of back up and growl at
her.
Well,
she totally thought it was like, she didn't realize she was making it bounce, I don't think. I think she thought it was like moving of its own accord. This doesn't quite move like it normally, sort of alive, like you would expect. Yeah.
And then our previous dog, Sir, the Boston Terrier.
May he rest in peace.
Hated balloons. He found them to be horrible.
But he would not attack them.
So there was one time when we blew up a whole bunch of balloons and put them in Phoebe's room for her birthday. It was Elizabeth, wasn't it?
So I was helping you.
Yeah. Put a whole bunch of balloons in her room for her birthday. And as
just
we were cleaning up the balloons, we brought the dog in there.
Well, we had the dog in there before.
And he wanted nothing to do with it.
Well, he was on the other side of the room, and then we had already, like, he was in there before we filled it up. And then we filled it up, so he was trapped. And he was like backing into a corner, and he looked so scared.
He wouldn't go near the balloons. He was like, no, Keep them away from me, these evil.
And we tried, so we kind of would try to like push them over to him and watch him just like shake with terror.
It was pretty funny. He was a very chill dog, but he did not like balloons.
He didn't like them. He wouldn't attack them. He just didn't want to be anywhere near them. We would try to like make him go through the balloons, and he would just like run out as quickly as possible, try not to touch any of them.
So Toby the Whippet is a hero also.
Yeah.
Being able to pop killing them. Balloons,
killing all those evil balloons.
Attacking them, hunting them, destroying them.
You know, with the balloons, you don't just have to kill them. You have to kill their families.
I think you have a dad quiz for me. Is that right?
So. Dad quiz. That's pretty good. So, my friends and I. Hang on, I just found it. Where is it? We were studying for our AP US History test, which I got an A on, by the way. It was like one of the only A's I've gotten on one of those tests because they're pretty hard. But we have our AP exam coming up in like a month or less.
This actually, is less than a month. US
AP
History?
US History. Sorry, A-push. A-push.
I saw someone use the word A-push on Twitter.
It's AP US History.
It was not
History.
You. I know.
World History.
We didn't call it A-push when I was a kid.
World History AP is WAP.
Yeah.
And then some people call Human Geography AP H-GAP, but I never did. We just call it Human Geography. AP, well, we called it AP Human. Anyway, I found, my friend found this quiz. She was trying to, yeah, so she got on BuzzFeed to take a break from studying, and the first thing that popped up was this BuzzFeed quiz called, Can You Pass This 11th Grade AP US History Test?
And so are you going to make me see if I can pass it, or are we going to do it together?
See, I already
Have you
did
done,
it.
You've
I got,
already done it. How did you do?
I think I got like a B. It said I got like a B plus. I got like 15 out of 17, right?
All right. Should I do it on my phone, or are you going to do it on your phone?
I'll do it on my phone.
Okay.
Actually, I want to see. Well, I think I got like either 13 or 15, right? Oh, I got 13. Anyway, number one, what does the Mayflower Compact do? One, set up the framework for self-government among the Pilgrims. Two, made peace between the Native Americans and the Pilgrims. Or three, granted the Pilgrims the ability to make their own currency.
One.
Correct. I think some of these you'll get because law
school.
Some
of them I'll get because I'm smart.
Yeah, but some of them are Supreme Court cases.
All right, then.
So you should be able to get those, or otherwise I'm going to ask the law institution you work at to fire you. Because you don't know your law history. Okay, the British policy of salutary neglect towards American colonies meant one. Or what? One, the monarchy would directly elect governors. Two, the colonists did not have to pay taxes on goods under a certain price. Three, trade regulations and laws were loosely enforced. Or four, the British government refused to finance projects across the colonies.
I'm going to say three.
Yes. What is mercantilism? One, the belief that a nation should have as little regulation on trade as possible. Two, the belief that a nation should export more than it imports. Or three, a belief that the nation should tax its colonists highly, while taxing those living in the mother country much less.
I believe it's three.
Wrong. It is two. I got that one wrong, too.
No, that's not the way I remember mercantilism being described in school.
Me neither.
So
but
I was kind of like up until three. I was like, well, it's not the first two. So it must
yeah,
be
I mean, I think
one.
That's right, too. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever got a clear explanation to that one, but I totally thought I knew
I thought
it.
Mercantilism had to do with like basically economic imperialism.
No, it's just that you should export more than you should import.
Mm-hmm. All right, then.
What year was the Boston Massacre? 1772, 1770, 1771, or 1769?
Ooh, 1770.
I feel like this, yeah, actually.
Oh, wow.
I feel like that's not a great question. I don't think they would have asked that on the AP US History exam.
Probably not.
Just from the other AP History tests I've taken, they don't ask just like straight up dates. But the other questions are actually pretty...
Yeah,
pretty much.
Like more, they're more often likely to say, like, put something in chronological order, not
so this is one.
Date.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah. I knew this one because of Hamilton. The Federalist Papers were written by Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and who? One, John Hancock. Two, Caesar Rodney. Three, John Jay. Or four, John Adams.
That would be John Jay.
Is John Jay got sick after writing 5. James Madison wrote something. Alexander Hamilton wrote the other 51.
I didn't even know that from Hamilton. I just knew it was Jay.
Oh, well.
John Jay.
So really, you know less than me.
No, I know.
Because I know an entire musical. You didn't know how many Hamilton wrote.
Yeah, I only know a few songs from Hamilton, and I can probably only recite portions of them.
Yeah. What Supreme Court case established judicial review? You should be able to get this.
Marbury versus Madison.
Yes, I also got that one, so yeah. Which of these statements about the Second Great Awakening is not true? I hate questions like this.
Oh, yeah.
So many.
It's really tricky.
The decathlon test.
Sometimes you're like,
test?
Oh, that one's true. It must be the right one.
No, well, the decathlon test. The decathlon tests are infamous for this, for giving you like a list of things being one of every single one of this was this except, and you're like, ugh.
So on the LSAT, which is the test you have to take to get into law school, there's a lot of them where it's like, there's like 5 choices, and some of them are like A and C.
Yeah.
Only C.
That's also
A and B. And I hate those.
That's it's also like, the decathlon test. Yeah, they're like just horrible, like
horribly written. Yeah.
And just to make you. They're horrible. Anyway, which of these isn't true about the Second Great Awakening? 1, it encouraged social reforms like temperance and abolition. 2, it began in the northeastern United States. 3, Quakers and Lutherans saw the numbers within their churches grow the most. Or 4, women began to take an active role in religious institutions.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say 4.
Really? I don't think it was 3. It was Quakers and Lutherans saw their numbers within their.
That would have been my second choice. I was actually going to say that, and then I
found it pretty easy because I don't think Quakers ever really grow within history. If you're talking about things that are like progression,
Lutherans, I thought maybe though.
Quakers never really grow. They kind of
were.
I mean, they do in like, but they plateaued after a while. In the 1900s, there weren't many Quakers. Anyway,
they were pretty early in our country's history.
Okay. Well, this is a political cartoon, so you got to look at it. What does this political cartoon best represent? And do you want to describe that really quick?
All right. So there is Uncle Sam standing in the Western Hemisphere and a bunch of fat-looking gentlemen over in Europe. Uncle Sam's got his hat over South America. And the choices are... Can I
get to
choices?
Read the choices.
Well, I want to look at them first. man.
I got to read them.
That's a tough one.
I knew this one. A, Manifest Destiny. 2, The Era of Good Feelings. 3, Monroe Doctrine. Or 4, Social Darwinism. I'm
trying to remember what the Monroe Doctrine is. I know it's not B or D. Or was it 2 or 4? It's either Manifest Destiny or the Monroe. I think it's the Monroe Doctrine. That basically America
really,
has responsibility
yeah,
for
was.
The Western Hemisphere.
But really, you didn't know what Manifest Destiny was?
Oh, I know what it is. I just thought,
that's
you know.
That's to the West. That's not South America.
Well, it could also be like America has the right to expand to from sea to sea without Europe interfering, you know?
Well, sea to sea from left to right, not up and down. Anyway. Monroe Doctrine, aka the belief that everyone should stay the heck away from North and South America.
In their own spheres of influence, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Trail of Tears forced the relocation of which tribe leading to the deaths of thousands of Native Americans? The Mohawk, the Sioux, the Cherokee, or the Iroquois?
The Cherokee.
Correct.
I'm doing not so bad.
Yeah, you're probably doing about the same. If you should see if there's a world history one. World history is wild.
I bet.
I barely passed that one. I got a 3 on it, I think, out of 5. Which is what you need to pass. Okay, the Whig Party was formed in opposition to which president? Andrew Jackson, John Quincy Adams, James K. Polk, or Zachary Taylor?
I would say John Adams.
You would be wrong. It was Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, that would have been my second choice.
King Andrew. What was the most violent... Oh, I don't like this one. I freaking hated this one. I got this one wrong, but I shouldn't have.
Well, let's see if I can get it right.
Which was the most violent slave rebellion that occurred in the United States? The Stono Rebellion, Nat Turner's Rebellion, John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry, or Gabriel Prosser's Rebellion.
It's either Harper's Ferry or Nat Turner. I think it's Nat Turner.
Yeah, that was the one I got wrong, but I was stupid. John Brown didn't lead the. It was like a weird. Anyway,
John Brown
like a
was
weird
more like a symbolic. Symbolic
yeah,
story.
It was.
He was. I think John Brown's body, that poem, like inspired a lot of abolitionists, but he wasn't.
Yeah, that was like a weird. I didn't like that.
Yeah,
but it's whatever. Americans who advocated for popular. How do you say that word? I'm bad at saying that word.
Sovereignty.
Sovereignty, really?
Yeah. The sovereign.
Wow, I wasn't even close. Sovereign. I would think I was going to say like sovereign.
I think you can say it's sovereignty or sovereignty. I think you can say
yeah,
it
I think it's
way.
Sovereignty. Popular sovereignty wanted what? Direct elections of state representatives, the United States to annex Mexico's territory in the Southwest, the end of the Electoral College and a direct popular vote, or slaves to have the power to decide if slavery expanded to their territory.
Let me see. I missed the first part of the question. Americans who advocated for popular sovereignty wanted, I'm going to say, direct election of state representatives.
Wrong. It was states to have power to decide if slavery expanded to their territory.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
The commentary BuzzFeed gives on that is, remember how Preston Brooks beat Charles Sumner over the head with the cane?
I do remember
that. Wild.
The beating of Charles Sumner. In my A-Push class, which we didn't call A-Push, I think my teacher did a reenactment of the caning of Charles Sumner on the floor of the Senate.
Wow. That's
Congress?
Wild.
Senate? Yeah.
What was one outcome of Dred Scott versus Stanford? Dred Scott was freed from slavery. Slavery was permitted in the United States territories. Slaves could not be sold across state lines, or slaves could sue their slaveholders in courts.
Well, Dred Scott was a bad thing.
Yeah.
Let me see the options.
That makes
again.
It pretty easy. If you know that it was a bad thing, it makes it like really
he was not
simple.
Freed from slavery. I mean, it's got to be slavery was permitted in the U.S. territories. It was a pretty
yeah.
horrible decision. It's one
yeah.
of the most infamous decisions of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I mean that one's once you know that it's
that's
not
right. Then all the others
you,
are you can eliminate.
It's, yeah, that one it's an easy question.
Yep.
Okay, what is the 14th Amendment? You should know this.
14th
Not
Amendment.
Even gonna read you the choices. You should just know.
Applied the Bill of Rights to the states.
I
mean, what are the choices there? I should know this, but
citizenship for all those born in the US, abolition of slavery, the right to vote for all men, direct election of senators. Senators.
The 14th Amendment? It does
yeah.
a lot of things, but it's not the abolition of slavery.
No,
that was
that's
the 13th. What are the other choices?
Citizenship for all those born in the U.S., the right to vote for all men, or direct election of senators.
The right to vote for all men, I suppose.
It's actually citizenship for all those born in the U.S.
Oh,
I think I did the same
wrong.
Thing. I think
well,
I did the
it
same
does a
thing.
Whole bunch
they,
of things because there's an equal,
I remember
there's an equal
now.
Protection under
no,
the law.
Yeah.
But it basically applies like equal protection and things like that to states.
Yeah.
So the Bill of Rights only applies to the federal government, but the 14th Amendment has like restrictions on states.
Well, when they talk about it in AP US history, it's 13th, 14th, 15th in order. It's abolish the slavery, makes everyone a citizen that was born there.
It makes sense.
And then allows them to vote.
I mean, it's a big civil
yeah.
rights amendment.
It's a civil, because 13th, 14th, 15th are all.
Right.
But
right.
I got it wrong, too. I think I also put the right to vote.
That's kind of shameful, though. I should know that.
You really should.
My con law professor is probably rolling in his grave, assuming he's dead. I don't know if he's dead or not. I don't know if my con law professor's around or not.
Don't the people who like work for you listen to this podcast at a law place?
Who knows? Who knows?
Going to be like, oh, he doesn't even know anything about law. Doesn't even know his constitution.
Although, to be fair, the 14th Amendment doesn't come up a whole lot in my job.
I would love for politicians to have to take an AP US history test.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Then have their scores released. What did the Compromise of 1877 do? End Reconstruction, end a filibuster by Southern Democrats, admit Montana to the Union, or ratify the 15th Amendment? I think I did get, I got this one right.
Compromise of 1977.
Yeah. There's so many compromises and yeah, I hate
it. So this is post-Civil War. It's certainly not admit Montana to the Union. That's kind of silly.
Well, stuff before the Civil War, there was a lot of that, like admitting certain states.
I think
it
ended Reconstruction. I'm going to say ratify the 15th Amendment. But it might be the other
one.
See,
I actually crossed that one out right away. It's end Reconstruction.
Is it really?
Yeah, because
I mean,
people didn't, no one wanted it.
Actually got that wrong.
No, it didn't help, so the South hated it.
End Reconstruction, huh?
I knew it wasn't the 15th Amendment because that's not a compromise. That's in any way.
True. That's, well, I thought it might be a compromise that they needed to ratify the 15th. You know what I mean?
Maybe, but that, no.
But the 15th Amendment was earlier than 1877.
Because it was after the Civil War, and there was like, the North was like, here, we're going to go help the South. And the South was like, okay, don't.
And then,
like, they hated it. So they finally were like, okay, we'll just stop.
And then it ends up with Jim Crow. And
yeah. Well, they just stopped trying because it wasn't helping. It was making things worse.
Yeah.
Jane Addams' Hull House can be seen as the... Oh, gosh, I didn't know this one. I think I almost got it right, though. Jane Addams' Hull House can be seen as an indirect result of which movement? Social Darwinism, social gospel, yellow journalism, or a cult of domesticity? Really
Jane
bad at saying
Addams
words.
Hull House.
I don't remember learning about this one. It was probably on the vocab list that I was supposed to look at and didn't.
I'm going to call it social gospel, but I am completely guessing.
Oh, that was actually it. I think I picked yellow journalism.
Some sort of charity house or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Actually, no, Jane Addams' Hull House. Oh, no, I do remember this. I think it was like... Oh, I remember it now. Cool. It was like helping homeless people, I think. I think. I could be wrong about that. And it was, yeah, it was the movement to actually like be nice people.
So like use the gospel in your life. And
yeah. Well, it was before
there
was a big movement. It's kind of funny to think about because there was this big movement that was like, hey, you know how all these religions are preaching that we should like be nice people and take care of people?
Maybe we should actually
do that. Like it was this big revolutionary movement. Like, whoa.
We shouldn't just use it to like justify whatever we happen to believe.
They were like, actually, maybe instead of using it for like racism stuff, we should like actually be nice to people. Maybe we should like help the homeless.
Yeah.
It's wild, radical ideas. Anyway, what did Webb Du Bois...
Dubois. W-E-B Dubois.
Yeah, Dubois.
It's not Webb.
I know.
Okay. W-E-B Dubois.
I think our teacher actually called it that as a joke because he had like some student who like would always call that. But I just, that's how I read it. Whatever. I didn't feel like trying to deal with that. Anyway, what did he believe was the key to social change for African Americans? Vocational skills, higher education, or violence?
Higher education.
Think you're, yep. That one's kind of tricky because vocational skills and higher education are kind of similar.
Yeah, I mean, he was an intellectual. He was very highly educated himself.
Yeah.
That was why I was guessing.
Ida Tarbell is a famous example of what? A yellow journalist, a victim of the Red Scare, a member of Tammany Hall?
Tammany Hall was the machine
struggling
in
today.
New York, right?
I don't actually remember that organization. Or a muckraker.
Let me see.
I'm struggling to pronounce things. Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, muckraker, not muckcracker.
Ida Tarbell. I don't know. I'm going to say a muckraker.
Pretty sure that's right. Yeah. I put yellow journalist, but you got that right. She wrote
yellow
the history.
Yellow journalism and muckraker, they're sort of like,
they're like
pretty
the
close.
Same thing. I should have gotten it right. Anyway, she wrote the history of the Standard Oil Company. Oh, I know this one. The Scopes trial was primarily about what? Money versus education, education versus science, religion versus science, or state education versus federal education?
Religion versus science.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to pass this test. I'm really excited.
Yeah. It is a lot of law, and this BuzzFeed quiz is a lot of Supreme
Court
cases.
How far are we along?
It's like one more.
Okay.
Brown versus Board of Education reversed what court case?
Plessy versus Ferguson.
Yep. You got 14 out of 20, right? I think I got
14 out of 20? What is that? Like a
It's a B plus, C? It says.
B plus?
Well, that's like the thing it gave, 70, but I don't know if that's actually.
It would be a 70.
Yeah.
On an actual test.
Well, but then you get the AP curve, Dad.
Oh, there we
and
go.
And with the AP curve, a 70, you got to take the square root and then you multiply it times 10. It's nice. That is a B plus.
Yay.
That's an 84 or an 83.6, but we're going to round up for you.
It's pretty good considering I haven't had an AP, you know, English history class. I mean, I did some of that in law school, so.
Yeah, next time we should find a WAP, a world history one, and see how you do, because world history is wild.
Yeah, it's such a broad subject that it can be about anything. That's the tricky thing.
AP US history is so much easier than world history.
It can be anywhere from Genghis Khan to, Archduke Ferdinand.
And I studied a lot right before that test. I studied the Chinese dynasties the whole night before. And I like went over every single dynasty and what they did. And there's a lot. And I learned the song for all of them. Yeah. That's all I did. And then for some reason, for like the first time in forever, you couldn't, like the essay questions, you couldn't, there was like nothing you could put about the Chinese dynasties.
Yeah.
Which is super rare because it's like the whole, but they were like weird regions. And so it didn't help me at all. So I got a 3 out of 5, but still gets me college credit.
Yeah.
It's the hardest.
Important to your parents.
It's considered by everyone to be the hardest test.
Yeah.
So
I took European history. I didn't take world history. There's an AP European
Nobody
history.
Does that at our school.
Yeah, I took it. I took, the only AP classes I took were AP US history, AP European history, AP English, and AP biology. I took only 4 classes.
Yeah, now if you
and
don't.
Back then,
I know
that was considered pretty good.
I know I have so many friends who literally are taking 5 AP classes this year in 1 year.
Yeah. I think there were only like 2 or 3 other classes that my high school even offered.
Yeah.
There was like physics, calculus, and chemistry.
Now we have
maybe?
Weighted GPA. So because of weighted GPA for like rankings, especially in Texas where it's like top 10% get automatic admission to all the Texas public schools, which I think is overrated, but that's a different conversation. Because they would admit people anyway, but to be have a competitive like rank, you have to
take
like all AP classes, which I don't do. So I do mostly. I only have like one that's not. But
all right, should we do treat yourself?
Yeah.
3 words for you: treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
All right. So today's treat yourself is brought to you by Jusco Chinese Grocery Store. I was in there the other day with the boys. And found these strange drinks. They are from Wei Chuan. I don't know how to pronounce it because I don't speak Chinese. Actually, they're a product of Malaysia.
Hmm.
We have 4 drinks. They are juice drinks that all have pulp in them. There's guava drink with pulp, mango drink with pulp,
kiwi
fruit drink with pulp, and
guava? No,
Light lychee? Is that how you say that?
Yeah, lychee and aloe vera.
Lychee and aloe vera with aloe vera pulp. You ever have aloe vera water?
I might have tried a little bit before.
I like it.
It was pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You can come down if you want. Henry wants to join. You want to join for treat yourself?
Sure.
All right. Henry is joining. I will take his mic off mute. How you doing, Henry?
Good.
Henry was supposed to be in bed, but oh well. I think we were keeping him up because we were being loud. And he doesn't have school tomorrow, so whatever. All right. Which one should we try first? Do I do mango?
Mango is the one I'm looking forward to.
Mango might be the best. Lychee's probably pretty good, though.
I like guava.
They all look pretty good.
Kiwis? Whenever I think of kiwi, my mouth just hurts. They always hurt my mouth.
When I was a kid, really little kid, like younger than Henry, I used to hate orange juice if it had pulp in it. Because I used to
I'm not a huge pulp
fan
either.
It had fishes in it.
Oh.
And I'm still not a huge fan of pulp. These are like big, chewy pulps, though. And I think that makes a difference. If it's actually like big and chewy and juicy,
yeah, some pulps,
it's not as big a deal for me.
Some pulp's better than others. I'm okay with pulp in like grapefruit juice, mainly because I'm used to like drinking the lot of pulp.
There's
I'm used
a lot of
to
pulp.
And it's like big chunks.
That's good.
It's like chunks of fruit. It's not like anyway, I'm used to drinking the grapefruit juice, like, you know what I mean, like out of the grapefruit when I'm done, and that has pulp in it. I don't know.
All right, this has chunks of mango floating around it.
It's not really pulp.
Yeah, it's like chunks of fruit.
Chunks of awesomeness.
It's very sweet.
Is there anything in there besides mango?
I don't know. It tastes like it might have sugar in it.
Yeah, maybe sugar, but...
Does it even say? Is it in English?
No, it's in English. Or the nutrition facts are.
Oh, yeah.
The guava one has sugar.
Does it have ingredients here?
Oh, so yeah. It's right here.
Oh, careful.
Oh, it has other stuff in it, but it almost just tastes like they took a mango and threw it in a blender.
Like a smoothie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really good. Delicious.
Well, because I almost feel like it tastes a little bit of like, almost like peel. It's
delicious. What do you think?
I think it's delicious.
It is, in fact, delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicious.
You're both correct. That's really good. I like it.
But can't you almost like taste the peel a little bit?
I don't know.
As like
I
an aftertaste.
It's not like...
Well, not in a bad way. I just feel like that's... I feel like they literally just took a mango and like put it in there.
It's like firm mango. All right, Henry, which one should we try next?
Yeah, it tastes a little bit underripe almost. Not in like a terrible
guava.
Way.
Guava.
Guava. All right, guava.
No, kiwi, kiwi. I'll kiwi instead.
Kiwi just causes kiwi me pain.
Might be slightly allergic.
That's what I think of. It's like...
Kiwi fruits
maybe
to me
maybe
tastes
I am
a lot
allergic.
Like strawberry.
I don't think I am allergic. I think they're just too acidic.
Sometimes
too
really
sour
acidic.
And acidic.
Sometimes it is really acidic. All right.
Okay, we should put dirty cups in one spot.
I'm going to use my dirty cup because I don't
I
care.
I got eight. Oh,
I guess I know, Henry's here now.
It might affect the taste.
Well, I don't want the taste affected because I'm a true juice connoisseur.
Well, maybe we have to get more cups then. Here you go, Henry.
Well, you can just reuse yours.
I don't know if this one has pulp in it. It says it has pulp. I'm not
maybe kiwi
a lot of
pulp just isn't as...
But this is...
Or maybe it's all at the bottom.
Yeah, I should have shook it up.
It's okay.
Not a fan.
I like it. I think it's delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicious.
Henry?
It's okay.
Okay.
Weird. Meh.
Meh. M-E-H. Meh.
We got a lot of opinions on that one.
Yeah, that's a weird flavor.
The it mango... Is. Mango was much more universally liked.
That's just weird.
It is.
All right, so we have
the
two left.
We've
got
weird
guava
on that one.
And lychee. Is it lychee or lychee? It's lychee, right? Okay. Guava. Let's try guava.
Guava reminds
was
me
something
of us going
we used
to Costa Rica.
Eat a lot in Costa Rica. When we took our family vacation to Costa Rica last spring break, we ate a lot of guava. They had a whole bunch of guava at the hotel.
Mm-hmm. That's what spring break
And it reminds me
like
of
me.
Just sort of a tropical location.
It just reminds me, yeah, being there. Oh, that was fun. We should go back to Costa Rica.
That's fun.
Talk to Dad takes Costa Rica.
It definitely tastes like guava. Henry, hand me your cup.
I didn't finish the guava, so.
Oh, you didn't finish the kiwi?
Very guava-y. I have my opinion.
It's good. Sweet. It's
guava.
I feel like it's lacking something.
Yeah.
I think it's delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I think it's okay.
I think I'm easy to please today. Phoebe says it's okay.
I'm a juice I love juice. I get two juice boxes in the lunch line every day.
What about Henry? You do?
Well, they're only 4 ounces.
You get two juice boxes every day?
They're
okay,
4 ounces.
A good
That's
rating
tiny.
In between okay and delicious, then okay would actually
Plus,
be good for this one.
Each juice box counts as a side of fruit.
So which will it be? Okay or delicious?
It would be okay if you added in that good rating between delicious and okay.
I think you're saying it's delicious.
Yum, 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 yum.
Nope,
yum,
I'm saying it's okay.
No. Ooh, don't do it again.
He says it's Oklahoma. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. One last one to do.
I think sometimes I like juice more than soda. But yeah, I get my two juice boxes, double-fisted.
This time I'm going to shake it up a little bit. You're not carbonated, so I should be able to shake it without...
Yeah.
Bad consequences.
You've had bad. I remember you've had bad. I remember being in the car with you when I was like younger, when you went through a phase where you would drink a lot of flavored water.
Yep.
And you always had this one brand that wasn't carbonated, but this one day you got a different brand and you like shook it up at 10. And it was like a whole like liter bottle or like two. It was probably like a liter. And you like opened it up and it like exploded all over the car.
I don't remember this, but it sounds like a
I
lot
remember
of fun.
It.
Yeah.
I remember just laughing at you. I also remember you. Put one in the freezer once and it got completely frozen and we
Here's
had to cut
lychee.
It open.
Lychee is really popular in Asia.
Mm, There's big chunks.
Mm-hmm. This one has like the most pulp out of all of them.
You need to add that good rating. Then I rate it good.
Good is like okay.
Add it.
Good is okay. You're like okay, okay.
Yes, but we need one more rating in there. Then it would be easier for me to decide.
No, I don't like that. I prefer...
What do you call it?
I call it... Okay, meh.
Meh. M-E-H. Meh.
I call it okay 0.25.
I'm also going to call it okay. So the best one, if we're going to rank them, mango is the best.
Yes.
Followed by what? Guava? My rankings are...
I don't know. I don't really like the other three.
My rankings are mango, guava, kiwi, and lychee. I expected to like lychee more than I do, but...
I honestly expected more than... I've had better mango stuff before.
The mango's pretty good, though. All right.
Almost at
the mango's always good. You can't make mango gross.
All right, Henry. Go back to bed.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
After this way.
So, Henry,
you should
thanks,
throw away all our thanks our for empty participating cups, Henry. With us.
Phoebe, thanks for participating. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being on the podcast. Thanks for talking to Dad.
Anytime.
Thank you, everyone who listened. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can send us a message at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can send us an email. You can tweet. I already said tweet. You can send us a message on Facebook or on Instagram. We are at Talk to Dad Podcast. You can go to talktodadpodcast.com and you can find all of our episodes. So thank you for listening. If you really want to help us out, another thing you can do is you can subscribe,
send
rate, and
money.
Review us on iTunes. We're not even taking money. You can send Phoebe money, I guess.
Do it.
Because she's pathetic.
Oh, put my PayPal account number in there.
But if you do give us a good review on iTunes, it might help our audience grow just a little bit, and that would be fun. Thank you, everyone. Thank you especially to the Foxy Morons, the band that agreed to allow us to use their songs for our intro and outro. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.